Thank you so very much. After all that's been going on, it reminds me of the lady who is burying her husband. And before they put the coffin in the ground, she asked to look inside because she couldn't believe that the same man about whom those things were said, she was married to. This has all come as a wonderful, wonderful surprise. I really want to commend everyone here to have resurrected the prayer breakfast after a 10-month demise. In the Christian tradition, resurrection comes 3 days after death. But we can talk about that at another time and another place. But those of you who have made it happen have worked very hard. I was once in your position, and I know all that happens in preparing for something like this. The Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. And your vision of having a tent large enough to include all of us of various backgrounds is so terribly important. I think at a time when, in terms of not only in the world, but in the nation and indeed within our own community, there is still suspect about different traditions and the wonderment about how we all need to be together. I'm here in what I call a carrot-stick combination. The carrot is this lovely award. The stick is that a few days after I was told I was to receive it, I was also informed that I was to give this keynote address. The Quakers have a wise caution. They say, don't speak unless you can improve upon the silence. And a writer once advised, it's really very easy to be a writer. All you have to do is sit down at a typewriter, today we'd say a computer, and then open up a vein. I think the same holds true of speaking. Well, as I began to bleed in preparation for my talk, I was inspired to ask my Carmelite friends who pray and who are also musically gifted to help me. And I want to thank Sisters Chloe and Claire for saying yes this morning. And I'm indebted to my beloved wife, who listened over and over again to what I was composing, and then in a very tactful way would say, it needs more work. Bunny, thanks is too small a word. A few years ago, I heard someone say in downtown Reno that for a community to be healthy and whole, it needed four ingredients, all beginning with the letter P. A plaza where people can gather, a pump where there is water, a pub where people can eat and drink, and a pulpit or religious setting in which deep spirituality is addressed. This event this morning, I would call part of the pub as a pulpit part of that, and maybe because of the delicious food, a part of the portion of the pub as well. What we do here this morning takes place in a very comfortable setting, but the name of the event, prayer, is not necessarily always as comfortable. Anglican Archbishop Rowan Williams has said that prayer is sometimes a battle and a struggle. In the midst of life events, be they on a personal plane such as family illness or strife, communities struggling with unemployment and homelessness, nations engaged in warfare and terror, the bishop writes, the struggle is not to let God and the world fall apart from each other. It is that separating that I find poet Robert Frost protesting in his famous poem entitled Mending Wall. He writes, something there is that doesn't love a wall. His neighbor says, good fences make good neighbors. Spring is the mischief in me, and I wonder if I could put a notion in his head, why do they make good neighbors? Isn't it where there are cows? But here there are no cows. Before I built a wall, I'd ask to know what I was walling in or walling out, and to whom I was like to give offense. Something there is that doesn't love a wall, that wants it down. Instead of being like his neighbor who picks up a stone in each hand, who Robert Frost describes as an old stone savage armed to prepare the wall and fence, you and I are called upon to be among those who want the fences down and refuse to allow God and the world to separate from each other. Hear Rowan Williams again. God and the world belong together. There is no place where the love of God cannot go. This is incredibly hard to accept, but we of the various faith traditions and civic traditions, business traditions as well, are charged to believe it and act upon it. Within our various religious texts, there are examples of what I'm talking about, situations or times when God's love is severely questioned. How can God love that much when there seems to be so little worthy or lovable? How can God be there when the world seems caught up in cruelty and pain? My faith tradition, and I would like to believe other traditions as well, would say that God's love is there even before there is any light or hope or possibility. Music is a way that prepares us to consider the possibility. Our calling, yours and mine, is to participate in the costly struggle to hold together God and the world, suffering and love, light and darkness, vision and despair. It includes verbal prayers for particular persons and conditions, but it also includes times of silence, no asking, no words whatsoever. The latter is what I believe Archbishop Desmond Tutu meant when he was asked not long ago about his prayer life. And he said, "It's no longer a shopping list, but more a sitting by the fire and warming myself." Prayer is one way in which our hearts can be opened. It is an alternative against our hearts being closed. It is a never-ending process. Music can help us do that. It can create a portal through which we let God's Spirit in. What Robert Frost called spring's mischief, I call God's Spirit. urging us to enter into relationships with others who share the vision of our oneness as human beings, and to celebrate our relationship with the Holy One, called by many names, who made us one, and who will not be content until we call each other sister and brother. This has been and continues to be my vision, and hopefully yours as well.